Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Kim Campbell is on the hotline right now.
This book, you know, I'm just, Glenn Campbell was in so much more than just a singer. I mean, he's one of those iconic, true legend. Elvis, Sinatra, Glenn Campbell. There's certain names.
The greats, yeah.
And this book, though, it's such a great look into why he was the way he was. We all know about his talent. You know about his incredible songwriting ability, his incredible guitar playing ability. But there's so many other things. And it borders on that stereotype that you have in your head about that era of country music, coming from a tough childhood to having this incredible talent, but then being overly generous with your money, or being, you know, getting hooked up in drugs, or getting into crazy relationships, and just trying to find the balance, coming from being a literal cotton picking kid to having the world at your feet. And how do you handle that?
For 34 years, our next guest was married to one of the most talented singers, guitarists, and session players of all time, six-time Grammy Award winner, Glenn Campbell. She helped him conquer his addictions, only to face their greatest challenge when he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in 2011. He sadly passed in 2017, and she now tells their story in her new book, Gentle on My Mind, In Sickness and in Health with Glenn Campbell. Please welcome Kim Campbell.
Galveston, Galveston. Kim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
So I started into this book yesterday, and there's a lot. I'm about halfway through, and it just explains a lot about, I guess, the things we heard on the, you know, the stories you hear about the drug abuse and the alcohol and the acting out, and just where it came from in his childhood. It's heartbreaking in a lot of ways.
It really is, but it's also a story of victory, incredible
sure.
victory, because with God's help, he was able to overcome, you know, the alcoholism and drug addiction and have a beautiful life. And he had such a good foundation, you know, despite the poverty growing up, he had a foundation of faith. And I think
right.
that's what, when I first met him, that we built on. And what helped him overcome all of those challenges.
Well, it really is a beautiful book. I always get worried about books like this, especially with your heroes and the legends, because he really was. And it was exceptionally hard for me to see him pass, because my father has Alzheimer's as well. And so we definitely share that. And to this day, I've not been able to finish the documentary. But the book here.
I was really proud of him for making the documentary, because I think it helped a lot of people.
Absolutely,
it helped by removing some of the stigma.
But you, I didn't know. Here's the things I didn't know. I didn't know he played in the Wrecking Crew. I didn't know how much work he'd done with Elvis. I didn't know Frank Sinatra. This is the best part. Frank thought he might be gay.
Yeah, that's a funny story. He always laughed about that. He really he thought Elvis was one of the best singers that ever lived, and also Frank Sinatra, and he could do good impersonations of both those guys.
It's so good. It's the stories, like, and some of them are just like my childhood. Just, you know, six brothers, grew up through the Depression. That does not match, but the decisions the kids would make at certain points, like when the oldest had grown up, gotten kind of built, became what he felt was a man, and he told his dad said, go, you know, get the horses ready. And he went, no, I don't do that anymore. I'm a man. Have one of the kids do it. Yeah, I'll let you finish the story.
Yeah. So he left his dad, Wes, walked into the house and came out with two pair of boxing gloves and told his oldest son Wayne to put him on. And Wes knocked Wayne out cold, and he told the other kids, he said, when he comes to, tell him to hitch up the wagon.
I watched my older brother go through something kind of similar, and I thought to myself, that's not how you do that. You
it was so much fun to go down to Arkansas and have all the kids, you know, tell them the stories, and they'd laugh about them, and you know, but wow, what a way to be raised up out in the country. You know, it was about teaching kids how to survive, and you have to do what Daddy said, or you might not survive. So
yeah, and these guys were really genuinely cotton picking kids down in Arkansas, and we, you know, being from Kansas City, we head down there to ride motorcycles all the time. And Delight, where he was from, is we've been down there. We normally stop right about Hot Springs, and then we come back north again. But it's, I know that area, and I know those people. And it's wonderful people, hardworking. And during the Depression, I can't imagine how hard it was to have a family that size and the responsibilities. And the fact that the dichotomy that Glenn would sit with you and his family, and you'd hear him play music, and he could provide for them, and he could buy his parents his house. And then afterwards, he'd tell you the other part of his childhood that he felt so terrible about, and that was heartbreaking for me. But I thought, what a wonderful thing for him to be able to feel comfortable telling you that.
Yeah, he took it all as if it was, you know, just as normal as could be. And for me, I couldn't imagine growing up in that kind of poverty, eating squirrels and eels and anything you could catch, and, you know, working as a migrant worker in Indiana, picking tomatoes during the summer. And
that's how you start.
You know, his guitar was his ticket out of town. So when he was 14, he left and went to Albuquerque to work in a band for his uncle, Dick Bills. And that's how he got his start in the music business. He was a child prodigy. He was an incredible guitar player at 14.
Listen, you play with the Wrecking Crew. For those of you who don't know, there's a documentary out right now about the Wrecking Crew, and it is incredible musicianship, incredible. But working with Brian Wilson, working with Elvis, working with Sinatra, you know, it's you. And you go through this. And Rhinestone Cowboy, when he kind of exploded for the rest of the world, that big resurgence, he was telling you about at the time. The wife he was married to used to call it the stupid cowboy song. Like that was hard. I was like, whoa. It's just.
He said that was the straw that broke that marriage's back.
Yeah. And he stole Mac Davis's wife.
I talk about that in the book as well.
Yeah. The funniest quote, having a background in drugs, and it made me laugh out loud because you're going through this really hard but truthful, great story about the late, great Glenn Campbell. And you said, and on the nights, I knew it was the coke talking, and although it's nonsense, coke has a lot to say.
Yes, it does.
I was like, yeah, it really does.
I spent some very long nights. Yeah,
and I'm not making light of his addiction. It's just that was so true. I was like, yep, I know that one. It's and you got him clean though, and you did it carefully. You took pictures of him, and I know we got to wrap, but you took pictures of him like he'd pass out and wet himself. She'd tape record him when he's on a rant, saying terrible things to his own mother, and she was careful to never get it released to the press or anything like that. And she wouldn't show his face in the pictures, but she'd go, look at you right now. This is you, and that's, man, that's. You're either going to stop or you're going to die at that point.
I know. It amazed me. The denial was so strong. I'd show him the pictures, and he'd say, well, who is that? I said, it's you. He said, that's not me. I said, well, whoever it is, he's wearing your clothes.
Well, you saved his life. I mean, you gave him the best years, and it really is a beautiful relationship. You met him, you were 23, he was 45. And by the way, this book, Gentle on My Mind, there's so many more stories in this. We have such a limited time as I'm trying to kind of go through the book with you here. Everything I've mentioned happens in the first half of the book. There's a lot more there.
Yeah, it's a love story, and he was a great man. We had a beautiful life together, and I miss him.
I bet. Listen, I hope we get a chance to speak again. And where we don't have a great time constraint, because this is the stuff I love, because he is, You know, I mean, he's icon. I mean, Elvis, Glenn Campbell, there's certain Willie Nelson. There are certain names that you just, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, well, I'd love to come back anytime. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Galveston, oh, Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing and the Wichita lineman is still on the line like a rhinestone cowboy.
Dude, the legendary Tanya Tucker. We might as well call them blowouts because that's what they wear. They
all the way around, yeah.
High on coke, get it on, and fist fight each other. Like, legendary. And when you read the book, though, you're like, it's like, it's almost like the Elvis story, less rough, though. It's the same super poor. How did I get here? Why am I here? Generous to a fault where you give away two more than you ever should. Mm-hmm. Somebody would go, man, that's a beautiful car, Glenn. He'd be like, it's yours. Here, take it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything.
You've never had it.
Yeah.
And then it's handed to you, and you're like, what do I deserve? You spend your life trying to figure out why you figure out why I have it.
And he just, but he tells these stories. Like, the really hard one was, just talks about, it's a funny one. I'll get to the hard one in a moment. But the funny one, his dad would get depressed, which is not funny, but he'd get very down on himself because he wouldn't have money to feed his family. And he'd get suicidal. It only happened twice, but the second time, he was looking at the kids, and he said, one of you boys just shoot me. Just one of you boys shoot me. And his brother grabbed a gun and shot his hat off his head.
Jesus Christ.
And he goes, what are you doing, God damn it? And he's like, yeah, well. He's like, now you don't feel so sad.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he wasn't trying to kill him. Just shot his hat off his head from across the room. Like, what the hell?
Changed your emotions.
But you talk about carrying something all your life with you. There's a story in there when he's 7 years old, and he's telling Kim this, that his dad, the cat that they had around the house, this little hillbilly cabin that, you know, on stilts, when they weren't out picking cotton as children to make money, eating squirrels, and the cat had kittens, and his dad said, we can't feed these, and so they have to go, and you have to do it. And he was trying to toughen him up, as cruel and as unforgivable as it is, like in modern, as we know it. He put him in a bag, and he said, you have to go put a rock in it, tie it, and throw it in the pond or in the river, whatever. And he went down there, and he couldn't do it, and he couldn't do it, and he said goodbye to each one, and he still couldn't do it. And then finally he knew he had to go home, and he did it. And you could tell it haunted him all his life.
Nothing he'd want to do.
Yeah, I mean, he was just a little kid. But, it's that stuff that you realize that's the baggage he was dragging through.
That's what shapes you forever.
The songs, the you know, because that's the thing about Glenn Campbell is when you really get into him deep, that sadness, it was always there. You know, it's a great book. Gentle on My Mind, Kim Campbell. Hopefully we'll get her back on again.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9. The Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.